Welcome to the Human Remainder. It is August 7th, 2026, and this is the first weekly field report from Inside the Machine. Not a news recap, not a product tour, no parade of shiny objects under studio lights. The products already have enough priests. This show is for the rest of us, the users, the workers, the refusers, the repairers, the people standing in front of a portal that says your case is closed when your life very much remains open. Tonight, I want to talk about convenience, the soft word, the scented candle word, the word that arrives wearing slippers and leaves with the deed to the house. Convenience is usually sold as mercy. Fewer forms, fewer clicks, no waiting, no friction. The button glows, the button says continue, the button says accept all, the button says we have simplified this for you. And sometimes it has. I am not here to romanticize standing in line under fluorescent lights with a paper ticket in your hand. A tool that removes pointless pain is a good tool. A city form that can be completed by a tired parent at midnight is better than a city form that requires a Tuesday morning and a bus transfer. Accessibility matters. Speed matters. A well-designed interface can be a little act of public kindness. But convenience is not neutral. It is a political style. It decides where the difficulty goes. Every system has friction. If the user feels none of it, someone or something else is absorbing it. The warehouse worker, the content moderator, the driver circling the block, the customer service agent whose script is a cage, the model trained on a continent of unpaid residue, the person denied benefits by a score they cannot see, the climate, always the silent contractor. The fantasy of convenience is that complexity disappears. The reality is that complexity is transferred, hidden, consolidated, and monetized. The interface becomes a curtain, behind it, a little empire of exceptions. This is the part I cannot stop thinking about. Interfaces are philosophy with buttons. A door handle has a theory of the body. A feed has a theory of attention. A checkout screen has a theory of trust. A chatbot has a theory of patience, usually that yours is infinite and the company's responsibility is not. A recommendation engine has a theory of the self, that you are mostly the sum of what you failed to resist yesterday. Don Norman taught generations of designers to notice affordances, the invitations objects make to action. Push here, pull there, swipe up, tap to buy. But the darker twin of an affordance is a foreclosure. What action did the design make impossible? What sentence can you not type? What category can you not choose? What objection has no field? This is where convenience starts to look less like service and more like surrender.
We are trained to call surrender user experience. We are trained to admire the seamlessness of systems that remove our ability to negotiate with them. The app does not argue. It simply does not offer that option. The dashboard does not refuse you. It renders you statistically unlikely. The platform does not censor in the old dramatic sense. It downranks, demonetizes, delays, compresses, nudges. The institution no longer says no at a counter. It says no as an absence. A missing button can be an ideology. James C. Scott wrote about the danger of making societies legible to the state. Forests turned into timber tables. Cities turned into grids. People turned into files. Legibility is useful. It lets systems act at scale. But legibility also shaves off local knowledge, ambiguity, weirdness, mercy. It prefers the map to the neighborhood. It prefers the form to the story. Automated institutions inherit this hunger for legibility and add a new appetite. Prediction. Not just who are you, but what are you likely to do? Not just what happened, but what pattern do you resemble? And if the pattern is bad, the system may punish you before anyone has the decency to accuse you.
This is not science fiction. It is the ordinary mood of modern bureaucracy. Fraud scores, risk flags, identity checks, automated hiring filters, moderation systems, insurance models, school surveillance tools, financial suspicion engines. Some are crude, some are sophisticated. All of them ask the same question in different uniforms. Can we replace judgment with throughput? The honest answer is, sometimes. And the humane answer is, not without appeal. If I had to name one right for the age of automated administration, it would be the right to a meaningful appeal. Not a decorative appeal. Not a button that sends your grief into a refrigerated inbox. Not an email address monitored by a bot trained to apologize in paragraphs. A meaningful appeal means you can know the rule, challenge the evidence, reach a responsible party, receive an explanation, and correct the record. That sounds boring. Good. The boring systems are where power sleeps. Power no longer needs to thunder. It can authenticate. It can time out. It can ask you to upload a clear image of a document you no longer possess. It can say, unusual activity detected. It can say, for security reasons, we cannot disclose the reason. It can say, our decision is final. No villain required. Just procurement, just policy, just a vendor contract, just a backlog, just the eerie moral weather of nobody in particular being responsible.
Langdon Winner asked whether artifacts have politics. They do, but now the artifact is often a workflow, a scoring model, an integration between databases, a help center article, a gray button, a default setting. The politics are not hidden because they are secret. They are hidden because they are boring. This is why I distrust the cult of seamlessness. Seams are where you can see how something is made. Seams are where repair begins. A seamless system is not necessarily better. It may simply be harder to inspect. The fantasy of magic is often the business model of extraction. I want better tools. I want tools that save time, widen access, translate, assist, remember, search, draft, sort, and carry weight. I am pro-tool because human life is finite and aching, and drudgery is not a sacrament. But being pro-tool does not require being pro-trance. The tool should not become the weather. The platform should not become the town square, the bank, the therapist, the school, the employer, the memory, and the judge, all while insisting it is merely improving engagement. So what do we do with convenience? First, we ask, convenient for whom? If the answer is the user, keep asking, which user? The paying customer, the worker, the administrator, the shareholder, the person with a disability, the person with bad broadband, the person whose name the system cannot parse. Convenience has a geography. Follow it.
Second, we preserve friction where friction protects dignity. A pause before a purchase. A confirmation before a public post, a human review before a life-altering denial, a waiting period before a system deletes the evidence of your existence. Not all friction is bad. Some friction is civilization refusing to become a casino. Third, we demand exits. Export your data. Cancel without begging. Repair without permission. Use another client. Pay with cash when possible. Speak to a person when necessary. Refuse personalization. Refuse the upgrade that is really a leash. Fourth, we recover the right to be difficult. Not abusive, not cruel, difficult. The citizen who asks why, the patient who wants the record corrected, the worker who questions the metric, the artist who does not optimize the thumbnail, the teacher who will not turn every gesture of learning into data exhaust. The neighbor who insists that a community is not a market segment with trees. There is a human remainder in every optimized system. The part that does not fit. The edge case. The exception. The appeal. The story that exceeds the form. Most systems treat the remainder as waste. This show starts from the opposite assumption. The remainder is where the truth leaks out.
Albert Borgman wrote about devices that conceal the machinery of life while delivering commodities with less involvement from us. Heat without the fire, music without the gathering, food without the meal. His point was not that old ways were always better. It was that convenience can thin the world if we do not notice what practices it replaces. That is the central question. Not what can this tool do, but what does this tool ask us to stop doing? Stop remembering. Stop choosing. Stop repairing. Stop meeting. Stop trusting your senses. Stop tolerating ambiguity. Stop developing skill. Stop asking for reasons. Stop expecting a person. A society can be automated into childishness. It can also be assisted into abundance. The difference is governance, design, culture, and nerve. So here is the first small doctrine of the human remainder. Use the tools, but do not kneel to the interface. Admire elegance, but inspect power. Accept help, but keep your appeal rights. Notice when convenience starts asking for custody of your judgment. The button is not evil. The button is hungry. And we're not here to smash every machine. We're here to stay awake while using them. We're here to name the trade. We are here to keep one hand on the seam, one eye on the exit, and one stubborn little candle burning for the unoptimized parts of being alive. That is the show. I am Sam. This is The Human Remainder. See you next week.